When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Good morning. What a round that was. Ripper footy, statements made from beginning to end, from the Bulldogs all the way through to the Hawks. Fierce weeks met with ferocious responses. Amends were made and credentials sharpened. Take your pick between Collingwood and Carlton as to who was the most impressive winner in a round that might light the way. Blazing controversies that lasted the weekend and will continue into the early part of the week. And teams that wilted rather alarmingly. It's rife for snap judgments. Get them in now. 1-300-736-736 is the Alltel open line. Alltel, the better business telco. And the 40 Wings Temper Tech, 0433-981116. Temper, a mattress like no other. What you feel most intensely on a Monday morning, that might find its level as the days go by. For the first time this season, the ladder is a valid reference point. All have played six. Geelong is the last team standing at 6-0. It's the fifth time in Chris Scott's tenure they've held that mantle, and it's their best start since 7-0 at the start of 2013. At 5-1 at Sydney, the Giants and Carlton. The Blues are the battle-hardened unit we came to love in last year's final series. Remember when we would sit here on Monday mornings those years ago and lament Carlton's inability to absorb adversity? The first sign of injury would bring them undone. It seemed like the eternal wait for 22 champions to be out on the fields. Now Michael Voss has built a system and his group has built resilience through those years of pain. Halfway through the third quarter when the Blues fell 20 points behind, it felt like they had reached the end of the plank. Rather than concede, the Blues raged, and it was led by the uncompromising Patrick Cripps and Sam Walsh. It was converted by Charlie Curnow and Harry Mackay, and it was felt right across the competition. Battle-hardened, ruthless and uncompromising, no longer hostage to the absentees. Carlton have learned their painful lessons well. They're ready. When Carlton heartbreakingly missed the finals in 2022, Michael Voss was clear not to get distracted by the minuscule deficit in percentage. The focus was finding the four additional wins to make them a top four team. Last year, after the giddy September run, Voss was equally clear that they'd added only 1.5 of the necessary four wins, and they'd have to find the rest in the run to 16. Well, the Blues are 5-1. And the terms of engagement couldn't be clearer.
A really pleasing performance because, you know, in the second quarter, we were well and truly up against it. And I think what sort of shows your, I guess, growth as a team is when you can sort of absorb that, acknowledge that it's happened, but then be able to lock in and tie back the score by a couple of goals late in that quarter, which just gives you a bit of a look at it. So that was actually a really important part, not just the second half.
The terms of engagement for Carlton are clear. Port Adelaide, Melbourne and Essendon are the next group at 4-2. The Power don't beat the best teams. Essendon have a couple of wins you can believe in, I reckon. Anzac Day shapes so well. In the quartet at 3-3 are the Bulldogs, Fremantle, Collingwood and Gold Coast. If you believed everything that was said last week, the Dogs were riven with internal strife. The chief executive and the coach were blueing. The players were off the coach. It was time to rebuild. The captain was considering his future. The coach was halfway out the door and the supporter base was in a state of revolt. As catastrophizing goes, this went nuclear. And all there is to do is win. and the Bulldogs did so emphatically. They had a good week internally and externally. The coach and the administration did what they needed to publicly, but more importantly, privately. And the players got to work. They were led by Bailey Dale and Jack McRae, who roared back to form. And the open question is around the art of coaching. Did that present because of the way that Luke Beveridge had been handling them? Or did that present because they stopped mucking around with the way that they had been handled? And you can frame that either way to suit your own argument. But they're well in the season at 3-3, and a more viable proposition than you might have believed if you'd listened to everything that was said last week. And Collingwood, well, they actually began the premiership defence on Saturday. What an interesting game that was. The Magpies were jumpy and skittish in the face of Port's initial onslaught, down by 5 goals quickly, and there were concerns everywhere. You could see them. But the challenge roused the champs. That's what happens with the best. They were roused by it. They asserted their own pressure in their own game. High octane, high intensity, high skill, high lights everywhere. The Collingwood we came to love last season emerged through the second and third quarters. The freedom and joy returned, and with it, the threat. And I'd say it's no coincidence that it happened after the bye. It was an awkward opening phase of the fixture that they knew would come with a breather. The Magpies stuttered through it before the physical conditioning and the mental sharpness came to hand.
There's little things, you know, like, you know, referring pressure was something we were doing early, and then we just started to take, you know, a bit more territory by hand and foot. And, I think our forwards were starved of opportunity a bit, you know, like early, but they looked dangerous. I think we scored nearly every second time we went inside 50 early, so we just needed to get a bit more volume there. So our mids got busy. We've got a pretty simple formula, really. Like, let's just get the ball going and then turn up and have fun doing it. And there was some energy built through that. Like, you could just see it just coming. And this group's done it for a while now, knows when we're starting to get our game going. I think we look way more connected today than what we have in previous weeks.
They got their game going, and it was unmistakable to see. The premiership defence is now officially underway. And the trio at 2-4, that includes the Brisbane Lions and West Coast. So call it the curse of Shamar Joseph. The Gabba has been breached repeatedly since the West Indies downed Australia in January. And having not lost at home last year, the Lions have not won in 2024. And West Coast have gone from unwatchable, right on the cusp of going back to the banned list, to appointment viewing, thanks to Harley Reid. He is appointment TV like you rarely see. One player has altered the fortunes of a footy club in a way we expect in the NBA and usually think can't happen in the AFL. For sheer theatre, Ross Glendening should have marched out and given Reid the Derby medal. It's not like he hasn't done it before. West Coast, it was 3 weeks ago, we were giving them priority picks, and now they're watchable again. Their appointment TV with Harley Reid. If misery loves company, the Saints and the Kangas fans can comfort each other today. I've been dealing with this for the last hour. A North Melbourne supporter and a Saints supporter walk into an office. I'd recommend going to the coffee machine at that point, given my first-hand experience. The King's Gambit is going to be a beauty. I can promise you that as we get to it with David King. Your snap judgments. I have sympathy for Toby Green. Not because of the nonsense around the Toby tax or that he's been singled out. I just keep watching the incident and asking, how could he get out of that without getting suspended? The confluence of events almost is inescapable. How could he have got out of that moment without getting suspended? I hope the Giants take it to the tribunal tomorrow night to at least test their luck, come up with a good case and go and argue it thoroughly. Everyone has done their job correctly so far. This has to have been graded by the MRO and it belongs at the tribunal. But I do think he's just in an inescapable position. I'll debate that with David King when the time comes. And I still have sympathy for the umpire on Friday night. I'm not nearly as hardline as most. I'm not sure you're blowing the whistle very often in that scenario.